episode 1790, My Strength is My Story with Doris Horenstein, Moments of the Heart.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people. Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us an extraordinary woman. Her name is Doris Horenstein, and I've got to tell you this, she is my Jewish girlfriend, and she would say I'm her Christian girlfriend. We have a blast. You better be ready because the energy is coming your way. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Doris's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, brace yourself because you are in for a real treat. We had so much fun chatting together, and I got to tell you, you're going to see more of this girl later on. She is incredible. We talk about the Hebrew language. We talk about the heart and the four chambers. We also sing. Okay, we don't sing, meaning I don't sing. She sings. It is awesome. You're going to love it. So without further ado, let's welcome in my friend and sister, Doris Horenstein, Moments of the Heart. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. You are going to have a blast with us today because I have got the most energetic woman. Yes, she actually matches or she may exceed my energy. Her name is Doris Horenstein. She is the wife of 31, almost 32 years to her fabulous husband and mom to their three children. She was born and raised in Israel and moved to Portland, Oregon after completing her service as an officer in the Israel Defense Forces. And she had a little incentive too to make that move as she met her soon-to-be husband while volunteering in a kibbutz. Doris is the master teacher transferring her love of Jewish traditions and the Hebrew language to more than 1,000 students. Today, the world is her classroom. She's a keynote speaker and the author of her brand new book, Moments of the Heart, Four Relationships Everyone Should Have to Live Wholeheartedly. So how are you, my friend and sister? Welcome.
Thank you so much. I am delighted to be with you. Super delighted. I am so fortunate, feeling so blessed that God has brought us together.
I know. We met just actually barely a month or so ago.
That's right.
And I cannot believe how much we have in common yet, how much we don't have in common.
Yes, that's right. You know, we were just talking about it earlier, how two women, fantastic that we are, like what will be our connection, right? How will we come into the same journey, into the same life? And I'm so glad that Morgan James Publishing has had this event in Nashville. And you came and I came. You're going to be an author very soon. And I am already an author this year. And it's exciting. And so we both of us experience different religions, right? I'm Jewish, you're Christian. We have different life journey. I was in Israeli army coming from different country. You were born in America, raised here. You don't live in Portland, Oregon, where I live. And still, we have this click, we have this connection, which I talk a lot about in my speaking, but also connecting to the Hebrew language, which maybe we can talk about how the word to connect and the word a friend actually share the same root.
Ooh, and well, so let's jump into that because I knew I was just going to throw my notes out the window. I'm just saying, because you and I are just tethered to each other's heart. I really believe that. I don't know what it is, but I do believe that God made a divine appointment when he connected the two of us. And yes. So I do want you to jump in because your book is amazing. And what I think is fascinating is the Hebrew language. And you actually have a course called The Language of My Intent. Did I get that right?
The Language of Intent.
The Language of Intent. There you go. See, you're supposed to correct me. Good job. And within here, though, there's so many what I call, and I think you mentioned it too, Hebrew gems.
where exactly. It's what goes deeper. And I've always said that words have power. And so take us through this connectedness here.
Okay.
With how it works with the Hebrew language. And that'll be just our first amazing event.
Okay. So thank you. So let me tell you a little bit about me and how I came to love this concept. So I grew up in Israel. So I speak Hebrew naturally, right? This is my first language. But not every person that speaks Hebrew understands the meaning of what they're saying, like the hidden meaning, what I call the treasure, the mystery of the words that we say. When there is a book called Sefer HaYetzirah, which is accredited to Abraham, our patriarch. And in that book, there was a lot of the secrets of the letters. You see, I regard Hebrew as the language, I call it the language of essence, rather than language of accord. The English language is a language of accord, meaning a bunch of people came together and they sat together and they said, okay, this is how we're going to syntax the language. This is how it's going to make sense, right? Hebrew has no authors to that language. It's a language of essential meaning. Some people call it fundamental language. But in today's world, you know, people associate fundamental with, you know, the wrong thing. So I like to call it the language of essence, what it means. So Abraham talked about the words that you know, that you use, that everybody uses today, not knowing that it's accredited to Abraham. Have you ever heard of abracadabra?
Yes.
You're right. Every magician says abracadabra. I'm going to say these words and a bird is going to fly out of my hat, or a flower will pop out of my sleeve, or right, or some money is going to come out of my sleeves, or whatever, right? Abracadabra. Well, these words are mentioned in Sefer HaYetzirah that is credited to thousands of years ago. And when you look at the Hebrew, it actually comes from Hebrew. It means, Abra means bara, which means form. And kadabra means like I spoke. So I will form it as I speak it. That's what abracadabra actually means. Okay, so taking that, coming from the Hebrew language, everything that we say has meanings and they're connected. So in my course, which is like 4.5 hours, right, which we're not going to do today, but we will invite people to engage in that.
Because definitely.
It's 4.5 hours of deep understanding of what the letters are, what the meaning behind the words that we say. So, for example, we talked about friendship. The word friend is chaver, and the word to connect is lechaber. So you hear chaber, lechaber. There's common consonants within these two words. What does that mean? There's an underlining meaning. And the meaning is, when you connect with somebody, like you and I have done together, we create friendships. We form a relationship, a bond together. By connecting with one another, we value each other. And by valuing each other, you become friends with one another. Think about that. If we take that concept out into the world and try to really connect in a deep, authentic way, not to put down somebody, but to connect with them and to become their friend, the world can be so amazingly different, full of more positive people, right? So that's what you and I are doing. We are connecting, we are becoming friends, and in Hebrew, it's one and the same. Because when you do that, when you put your egos aside, when you are connecting on a human level, you create this value system. And then you create these friendships. So that's my little word about us connecting.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And it makes my heart skip a beat in a positive way, because I think we sometimes don't understand the power of relationships, the power of connecting. And I believe that we were created to connect, and that is the sole reason. I mean, anybody can go learn a trade, whether it's being an accountant or, you know, being a, you know, a construction worker and built, not that you would ever want me to build your house, but I could learn it. I'm just saying I could learn it, right? But there's something that goes much deeper when we talk about relationships.
Oh, you know, when people on their deathbed, when they are asked what is the most important thing in their life, they don't say, oh, I finished this project management program and I have, settled this legal system, or that I picked up the garbage on 5 o'clock every day, or right? They don't. They talk about their values, their family, their connection, the love that they had, you know? And I think that has to do everything with relationships. I think relationships are the basis of how this world moves. And when I talk about relationships, as you read in my book, the first step really is the relationship that we have with ourselves, is how we love ourselves, how we allow ourselves to grow, because that's what life is. You know, in Judaism, there is a sentence that we say, if I didn't learn anything new today, what good is today for me? Right? So it's always about learning something new about yourself today. And so to me, that writing of my book, and maybe we go back to, like, how did I even write this book?
Yeah, because it's quite the story, Dorice, that it is. It didn't just come where you were like, I want to be an author. No, there was a reason behind it. Tell us that story.
Yes. So I've been in Jewish education for 30 years. And in 2014, my sister, my youngest sister, she's 10 years younger than me. So at that time, she was 38 years old. She was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And it was very fast growing cancer. And she lives in Israel and I live in Portland, Oregon. What will I do being 10,000 miles away? How can I support my sister, whom I love dearly? We're a very close family. I have five siblings, including me, five siblings and happy elderly parents. And we love them and we're very connected. Our children are connected, even though we live so far away. So I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? And I remember actually that night, I note it in my book. It was a Thursday night when I got the phone call. And on Friday, every first Friday of the month, and that was so happened to be that time, our synagogue held a Sabbath meal and everybody would come together, like 100 people. And that Thursday night, as I got the news, I thought to myself, there is no way I'm going to synagogue and singing and being happy. I feel just yucky on the inside. I feel tormented. So I decided to let my husband go and my son, and I decided to stay home. So I was home for 3 hours, and I didn't turn on the TV, and I didn't listen to music, and I didn't cook, and I didn't read a book. I just sat there and stared at the wall, which I have in my house.
So then a few walls.
One wall or something. I was like staring. And it's amazing what happened when we let all the thoughts out of our heads. New thoughts come in. And by the time they came, I had this idea that I'm going to, every Saturday night, I'm going to post a positive message on Facebook, which I've been active on Facebook every Saturday night. And I've done it, and I did it for a whole year. So as she goes through chemotherapy and as she goes through radiation, I am just doing it all year long, every Saturday, like a clock. My 11-year-old, back then, my 11-year-old son helps me by recording it on the little iPhone, and I just upload it. And so I decided I'm going to create a page called Lev Moments. And Lev means heart. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to put my heart out. I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to be me. I'm going to try to inspire her, because that's what I've done in my job for 30 years in the Jewish community. And after I did this for a whole year, I thought to myself, okay, now what? I remember that day I'm sitting on the floor. I literally thought to myself, what am I doing? I decided I'm going to start writing them out. Whatever I said, I'm going to start writing. And it took me a whole year. So now we're talking another year until I write everything out. And I printed it out and it literally says video 1, video 2, video 3. There's no names. And my husband comes into the room and I'm surrounding by papers. And I said, honey, what am I going to do? How am I going to split this? And he says to me, well, you called it Lev moment. Lev meaning a heart. The heart has four chambers. Why don't you divide your videos into four sections? And I thought, brilliant. Why didn't I think about this? You know, like, I'm smart. But he was brilliant in this. So then I thought, okay, I'm splitting it to four, which, by the way, it's a great thing to always acknowledge when somebody does something good, even if you could have come up with it on your own. It's really nice to say, honey, you're brilliant. Thank you so much. That is something I may not have gotten so quickly. You know, I may not have gotten at all. So credit is given where credit is due, for sure. And so it took me a while then to figure out what are the four relationships, because I decided I'm going to split it to four. But at that time, I was thinking, oh, I don't know what are the four relationships. And the more I digged into what I wrote, the more I realized that the first relationship is what we are to ourselves, how we carry ourselves in this world. How do we cultivate love and understanding and compassion and friendship and all that? And then when we are good on the inside, when we are good, then we can carry it to the next level, which is the relationship with other people. And those other people can be your relatives, your spouse, your children, your colleagues at work, people in the street. You know, how do you manage, how do you portray yourself walking down the street to your grocery store, right? And then the third relationship is the relationship that what I call the relationship with the creator. Now, you and I are believers, right?
Correct.
We believe in God. But I had in my mind, how can I reach out those who don't have a God that they believe in? You know, what is the power that is beyond you? Beyond you. When you think of something, is all of what happened in you, is you only you? Or do you believe that there is some kind of a cosmos things out here? And so for them, I said, it's that power which is beyond you, whatever you want to call it. Call it God, call it creator, call it the source, call it, some people call it their soul, you know, whatever that is for them. And the fourth relationship, which I think is literally the glue that put it all together, is the relationship with the events that happen to us in our lives. Think about your life and your journey. It's different than anybody else's journey, right? It's different. The events that happen in your life made you who you are, you know? And it, same things with me. My army service, being an officer in the Israeli army, definitely solidified who I am to become. And I believe that it was true. And I've spoken about it way before I wrote this book, you know? My life in Israel growing up, my particular situation of being here, away from my homeland, and how the events that happened here solidify my own being. And I learned, and it doesn't mean that everything has to be positive, right? You learn from what happens to us in our life, right? We talk. So this is my book. And I feel blessed that this book have come to see the day of light, because I never thought of myself as an author. I always thought of myself as an educator and somebody who serves people. And so now I have this way of reaching people outside of my world, outside of the synagogue walls. So for 30 years, I was working with the Jewish community here in Portland, Oregon. But now I am happy and feel fortunate to say that the world is my classroom, as you said. You know, it's beautiful. So thank you for helping me bring this reality that the world is my classroom.
Well, it is a beautiful reality. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Moments of the Heart, four relationships everyone should have to live wholeheartedly. You know, Dorice, I love how you write in your book. There's no chapters in your book. There's chambers.
Yes. Isn't it cool?
It is cool. So you got the four main chambers, but within those four chambers, you have a lot of arteries and veins, maybe we could call them.
Yeah, that could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So why did I talk to you before? Why did I meet you before? You know what? Maybe second book.
I love it. But there's so much jam-packed. But one thing I don't want to overlook in your story is that you started this in 2014 because your sister was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. But then something else happened shortly thereafter.
So I decided, so are you talking about my mom and my sister? Okay. So that's at the end of my book. So through this year, when I'm putting all this recording and all of this soul searching and inspiring of other people, at the end of the year or during that year, closer to the end, my sister was diagnosed with cancer. My other sister. So I have four other siblings. I have three sisters and one brother. So one of the other sisters got diagnosed with breast cancer. And a week later, my mother was diagnosed with cancer as well. And so, and my brother was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. But that's, you know, so it wasn't breast cancer, it was thyroid cancer. It was a very difficult time with a lot of trials. And throughout it all, I am trying to be the best positive person, even though with a lot of compassion, you know, because when somebody calls you and they are crying to you and they're crying, you know, about things that are happening, there is a moment where you should not be, oh, but it's okay. Things will be better tomorrow. Right? The only time at that moment is to be compassionate and to be listening and to hug them and to say, I love you. I hear you. I see you. I feel your pain. And let them go through this. But when I don't talk to them, or right on my Saturday night, I put on my videos. I put on my videos because for me, it was a way of really surviving. Being far away and all of them, they're dealing with, you know, mastectomies and chemotherapy and radiation and all this stuff. And I'm here. When my sister, so that was in the fall when my youngest sister was diagnosed with cancer. It was October. And then February, it was her 39th birthday. And she did not want, she was in the midst of chemotherapy at that time. And she did not want to hear anything about her birthday. She wanted to forget her birthday. And we decided that I'm coming to Israel and we're going to surprise her. And we're going to have a party, all just our family, not like a big, huge party, but you know, just our family is 27 people, you know, just a party. And when she came to the restaurant, she saw me there and we start crying and it was the most beautiful birthday. And as a matter of fact, there is a picture in the book where she's balded and I'm next to her and I'm hugging her. That was that night that I surprised her on her 39th birthday. And because we said, well, number one, we did not know if she's going to make it to 40. You know, you did not know. That's right. And number two, we wanted to celebrate that she's alive. And that, you know, and we wanted to make her feel good. And that week I went with her to her chemotherapy appointment. And there is actually a video. There's actually an entry in the book, but if you go to Moments of the Heart page, Facebook page, which is what I run now, and you look at the history of all the videos, you will see a video with me and my sister in the hospital doing her chemotherapy session where I speak about being true to yourself. And you will see me with a head cover and she with her hat, with bolded head, you know, with a hat on. And the whole, you'll see, as a matter of fact, several videos where I am covering my hair. And I talk about that in the book, but also in the videos, that I decided that as long as my sister is losing her hair, I'm going to cover my hair. Because living 10,000 miles away, I needed to have some tangible things to hold on to, remembering what she's going through. So I said to myself, I'm going to cover my hair every day. And that covering of the head reminded me every single day that my sister is battling cancer in Israel. And thank God, the good news is that she is alive and that she is doing well today. And in the very end of the book, you see a picture of my sister in Paris celebrating. And And thank God, you know, please God, let her be, and all my family and all of your listeners and all of us, may no disease such as this touches us in a way that could be detrimental to our health, to our well-being. Please God, keep us all healthy and well.
Amen. It is. We share these stories, but your story does have a happy ending in that they are healthy and they are still a very big, important part of your life. Yet you live here in the United States with your family, but all of your blood family that you were raised with is all still in Israel.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, you know, I must be like a cat. I have seven souls.
You crack me up, Doris.
But in a meow way.
Exactly.
You know, in a beautiful, like a Persian cat.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm Persian. Did I tell you I'm Persian?
No.
So my parents came to Israel when Israel became a state or shortly after. Mm-hmm. But they're both of them are from Iran. So I am 100% blooded Persian, but also 100% born Israeli. So now I live in America and I'm an American citizen. So talk about the melting pot in my brain.
It's a really big melting pot in your brain.
Huge, you know. I do some cooking that are Persian, but I also teach some Judaica and I also teach some Hebrew. So it's like a combination. It's a beautiful combination. But what did I want to tell you about that now? I lost my...
We were on our way to Israel and that you're here, but all of your blood family that you were raised with, obviously your children are your blood family, but yes. You know, your actual blood growing up family are all still in Israel.
Which reminded me of something just beautiful for you and all of your listeners to hear. So what is the name of the first human being in the Bible? What's his first name?
Adam.
Very good. Pass the test. Adam, right? The word Adam in Hebrew, right? Adam is built of two syllables. A and dam. Adam. Adam. The word dam in Hebrew means blood, which means the physical aspect of a human being. So my dam is indeed, all of them are in Israel. These are my dam family. They're all in Israel. Right? The A is the letter Aleph, is the first letters of the alphabet, and it symbolizes the spirit of God within a human being. That's what A is. That's why it's an open-ended consonant. It doesn't have a sound, a hard sound to it. Why? Because spirit can soar as high as you want it. So that's ah, and it's long ended and you can continue. You can say ah, right? Continue for a long time. So what is Adam, which I am, which you are? It's the combination of the spiritual and the physical. Now, growing up in Israel and coming here, my Adam is very strong. It's very connected. But I must tell you that when I came here, I really tapped into, and everybody has the ability to tap into the ah in them, in themselves, the spirit. And when I came to America, I connected with the spirit of who I am, the spirit of my purpose, of my direction, where I want to be. And so while it is sad for me that all of my family is there, like you pointed out, I am very fortunate that I can live in a place where I can grow my ah and to be the Adam, the human being that I can, that I want to be, that is the most fulfilling for me. And I don't know if I lived in Israel, if that will be the journey of my life, right? It's one of those events that make you who you are. Remember how we talked about the events that shape you?
Yes.
To me, a big event that shaped me is coming to America in 1986 with one suitcase, $600, and no coat in December to Portland, Oregon. Like, really?
I got a few words for that on you.
Right?
What were you thinking?
Okay, right. Clearly not thinking, you know, but that event in my life solidify or help me mature into who I was going to become, you know, So yes, it's sad that my family lived there, but it's also how blessed I am that I feel at this point in my life, after 31 years, almost 32 of living here, I feel connected to America and American culture as much as I'm connected to the Israeli, Jewish, and Israeli culture. So I am literally the melting pot, as I said. In my head, I am the melting pot.
And it's a beautiful melting pot, Doris.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel really lucky because I can talk to people who are Israelis. I can talk to Americans. I can talk to Jews. I can talk to Christians. I can talk to Muslims. I can talk to anybody who has open heart to have conversation. You know, I love that. I love that about my life. And I love the journey that I took. Now, talking about journey, are you in for one more Hebrew thing?
Oh, come on, bring it on. Yes, of course.
Okay, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. Okay. So the word direction in Hebrew is kivun. Kivun. Say kivun.
Kivun.
Perfect. The word intention is kavana.
Kavana.
So think, listen to the words kivun,
kivun,
kavana.
Kavana.
They share the same root. What does that mean? Going back to the beginning of our conversation, how when words share the same root, because Hebrew is a root-based language, which is not in English. English doesn't operate like that. But when you understand that big hidden background underneath that it shares, then you say to yourself, wait a second. Intention and direction have the same consonant. When you put your intention in the right place, you will have your direction. You will have your direction. So the more you are working with intentions and not like a leaf flying in the wind, whichever way the wind blows, you go. If you have intentions, then your direction will be opened up for you. You will know where you're going. And I must tell you that this is exactly what happened to me when I decided that in order for this part of my life to take place, I needed to leave the job that I loved, which was I was an education director in a synagogue. And I remember calling my husband. It was February of 2018. I was in Israel. And I said, honey, at the end of this education year, at the end of academic year, which is June and July, I want to leave my job because something else is going to be born. I have this intention in my soul. I don't yet know where it's going, but I know that I need to do it. And it took my husband 2 weeks to line up behind me, which is pretty quickly for him. You know,
pretty quickly like, for any man, just saying.
Because he said to me, well, maybe you should find the job first and then you jump ship. You know, like, you know, the logic. My husband is high in logic. I am high in emotion, you know, we balance each other really well. But so I said, no, you don't understand, honey. In order for the path to open up for me, I need to have the path open, like completely. I need the universe to be open to me. And for me to see it, I must leave my job. So it took him 2 weeks to say, okay, let's do that. Let's go to plan your plan. And what is it going to be? And I'm sure it's going to be okay. And it turned out to be amazing. Because when I left July 1st of 2018, I didn't have a book. I had a bunch of papers, which I fondly called my transcripts, you know. I was like a bunch of paper in a folder, you know. Nothing. I had no publishing company. I had no website. I had nothing. And my intentions put me on the path with very clear direction. And so now, a year and a half later, I'm proud to say that I have my website, DorisHorenstein.com, that I have my teachings and my influencing, my courses, that I am speaking. I'm going all over the country to speak about matters that inspire people, that motivates them to become the best them that they can be. I was just published in a magazine of a Women in Financial Services magazine. It's coming out on Friday, this Friday, December 6th.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, who would have thought? But God works in mysterious ways. That is what I so often says. You know, I don't know if you read the book of Gabriel Bernstein. It's called The Universe Has Your Back. But I read this book just before February when I called my husband. As a matter of fact, my girlfriend gave me the book on the plane ride to Israel. And it's called The Universe Has Your Back. Now, some of her writing, I totally embodied. It felt like it was speaking to me. And I thought to myself, Doris, she calls it The Universe Has Your Back, and she's a believer, but I'm going to call it God Has My Back. You know, God has my back. And he did not yet let go of me. I can feel him pushing me from behind, you know, and doing it in a loving way, not pushing me to fall off a cliff, but pushing me in a nudging way along a terrain that may be difficult a little bit, but not deadly. Right? And that's how I feel. I feel like I'm going in a difficult way, but in a way that is full of fulfillment and an accomplishment and a sense of well-being and a sense of trust. And I think that is amazing.
Wow. It is amazing. And I know y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Moments of the Heart, Four Relationships Everyone Should Have to Live Wholeheartedly. I don't know if everybody else's head is spinning because, you know, I think this is going to be one that we just have to put on repeat. We've got the new year coming up. For some people, it's a new season of life. Maybe they're coming out of a dark season. We just need to kind of take a breather and remember the love moments, as you say, whether they are good or whether they're bad, to be able to just sit with them. Maybe that means we need to stare at that blank wall to clear our mind. But yes. Look what God has done, Doris, in your life.
Oh, you know, I say always, God is great. God is great. You know, every morning, I'll teach you something that I do every morning.
Okay.
And maybe it will inspire you, inspire your community of listeners. So there is a prayer that a Jewish person is invited to say every morning before their leg hits the floor going to the bathroom. You know, like you're still in bed. You're still in bed. You're still lying in bed. And that prayer is actually very unique prayer because it starts with a verb. Now, most prayers, just like English, the grammar is subject first, verb second, object third. Like, I'm just going to think, I love ice cream. Not that it's a prayer, but it should be.
It should be. I'll second that.
So, right, that's normal syntax of a sentence. In that particular sentence that I'm talking about, it starts with, thank I, you, God, for giving me my soul back. According to Jewish belief, when we fall asleep, our soul leaves our body and kind of hovers over. It's actually 1/60th% of death, according to Jewish tradition. And when a brief second, a brief moment before we wake up, our soul goes right back into our body and enables us to open our eyes. And when we do, we say to God, thank I you. Not I thank you, but thank I you. Setting our mind with the idea that gratitude is the first thing we utter out of our mouth as we wake up. Now, think about that. How often do we put gratitude in front of the eye, in front of the self?
We don't.
Most of the time we don't. Mm-hmm. And here comes the brilliancy in Jewish tradition and says, say the word thank before you say the word I, put yourself second. Thank I, you, God of this universe, that put my soul back in my body. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine if everybody has that moment. They're still in bed. They didn't put their legs down. They say, instead of saying, I thank you, God, for giving me today, flip it. Say, thank I you, God, who put my soul back to me so my day could start. Just amazing.
Amazing. And now I have to put you on the spot because I know you're good at this. Say it for us in Hebrew, how you would pray it as you would naturally in your native tongue.
Do you want me to sing it for you?
Sure, I would love it.
Okay, I'm going to sing it to you. There's so many versions. I'm just going to go with one that comes to my mind. And it goes, Moda ani lefanecha melechai vekaya. Moda ani lefanecha melechai vekayam. Shechezarta binishmati beche. Emla shechezarta bi nishmati beche. Emla shechezarta bi nishmati beche. Emla rabba emunatecha.
Wow, that is beautiful. Oh my gosh. Okay, we're just going to, I'm going to take that and we're going to replay it over and over and over again. That is so beautiful.
Thank you. And that prayer, by the way, it is in my book. It is in my book because I feel it's one of the tenets of who we are is when we start that moment. And, you know, that moment for me continues because I have this now, the habit of saying to my son and my husband every day before they go to work, I say to them, did I tell you I love my life? Every morning, I do not miss a day. Did I tell you I love my life? So at the beginning, they were like, oh, Ima, that's so nice. Oh, wow. You know, my husband will say, oh, darling, that's so lovely. My son will say, Ima, which means mom in Hebrew. That's so lovely. And now they're like, yeah, you've said it at least once. But I still say it. I still say it. I said that every morning today. I said, honey, did I tell you I love my life? Thank you, God, for giving me this life. You know? So.
Oh. That. If we all could just wake up with that, and that would be just joy that would be in our four chambers of our heart. And I just believe that it would just blossom and grow exponentially to those that we touch every single day.
I agree, my darling. I agree.
Okay, well, I know people are going to want to pick up their own copy of Moments of the Heart, four relationships everyone should have to live wholeheartedly. I have to ask this kind of, it could be a weird question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You talk about the four chambers, the self, the others, God, and then I equated it as life events.
Perfect.
So what chamber for you, if you had to pick one, what chamber is the easiest one for you?
The easiest one. Wow. Easiest. I always think of it most essential to least essential. You know, because I always think that I would still say the first chamber and not because it's easiest, but because it's all that I have control over, you know,
love it.
I can't control other people, but I can control me. I am in charge of me. Right. I am. Thank God I'm free in my mind and in my body to make decisions based on knowledge, feelings, dedication, faith that I want. So I will still go, even though it's not an easy job, but it's a job that I can do and everyone can do. Everyone can work on themselves, right? I mean, I could try to work on other people. Well, I've tried to work on other people. Clearly, it did not work.
That's for a whole nother episode.
Completely other episode, right? I can't want to make you change if you, in other words, if the individual doesn't want to reach within themselves and sometimes dig deep and sometimes hold to kind of a lifeline of their own, right? I can't do that. So I would still say first chamber is the most foundational, but the most accessible. That's what I would say.
I love that. So then if you have the first chamber for your most accessible. What chamber is giving you the hardest time during this season of life?
Well, I think the hardest chamber is the second chamber, is the relationship with other people. I think it's the most challenging. Why? Because human beings are creatures that don't supposed to be alone. You know, what did God said in the book of Genesis? Lo tov eyot adam levado. It's not good for a person to be by themselves. That's why they created the woman, right? Not good for us to be by ourselves. Our idea is to live with other people, right? Not like monks. By the way, Judaism actually puts down the whole concept of being a monk, right? It's not what we live by. We live by being a society. You know, the fact that in Judaism, we have to have a minimum of 10 people in order to do certain prayers within a synagogue. It's called a quorum, a minyan. Why? Because the idea is that you cannot be on a mountaintop by yourself praying. Sometimes it's good if you want to have a moment in nature or whatever. But the idea is that you have to be together. Celebrations meant to be together. Sad occasions meant to be shared together, meant to support each other. So I think the most challenging is the second relationship. It's the relationship with other people. Is how do we communicate with another person? Now think about it in our lives. The best communication that happens, most of the time happens when we trust each other and when we have confidence in each other. Not only in ourselves, confidence in ourselves and trust in ourselves, which is the chamber number one, but it's also for chamber number two. When we do that, then communication can soar high. And that could happen when you deal with people. And sometimes it's a matters of easy topics that everybody loves. And sometimes it's tender. It's disagreements. It's how do you get along with people? It's that disagree with you. How, you know, if you have a fight, how do you convey, how do you resolve that fight without damaging the relationship ultimately? That, I think, is the key to not only good relationship, but of course, good marriage, right? You talk a lot in your podcasts about relationship with your spouse, you know? I mean, if we let everything that we think at first come out of our mouth, the relationship with our spouses will be bad.
Yeah.
It will be bad, right? You know, that's why in Jewish tradition, you know, why did God give us the teeth? To guard that whatever is in our tongue doesn't come out right away. Right?
That's right.
Our lips is the gate. So, but we need the other person. We want to be with another person. Naturally, we seek the company of others. You know, and so I think that's the second one is the most challenging and ultimately the most fulfilling. Because if I'm working on myself, but that's all that it ends, in the end of the day, I'm going to be very lonely. Even though inside of myself, I'm like, perfect. But like, why can't I communicate? Like, what is going on? Why don't I have friends? Why don't I have love from other people? You know, how do I show love to other people? All that is sprinkled throughout my book.
Very much sprinkled. And you know, we were truly created to share our hearts. And connecting that all together, it brings us all the way back around to you and I. When we first met, there was something there. When you sat down and there was that open chair and God said, this is for the two of you. And look what he's done. Now I think we're inseparable.
I know. I do. I actually think that. I just love it. You know the word lev? You know, the heart is the first body organ that is completed in the fetus stage. It's the first one. It's the necessary organ for us to function, right? And in the Torah, the first letter in the book of Genesis and the last letter in the book of Deuteronomy, if you put these two letters together, you create the word lev, which means heart. So everything from Genesis to Deuteronomy is our hearts. You know, that's the idea. It's everything is encompassing. And there's so many references in the Bible for the heart as not only the seat of the intellect, but also the seat of the emotions, is how we carry our, right? They say, don't carry your heart on your sleeve, right? There's so many phrases that we think of being a heart, but we also know that if one chamber of the heart is not working, then we have blockage. Then we can die. So we can't be, and that's when, you know, when you showed my book, I thought a lot about the cover of the book and how the heart is actually in a Lego, it's Legos, it's wooden Lego pieces put together. And if you take one piece out, it's not a heart. It's something completely different. So you need to have all of this in order to have a full heart. Now, I wanted to say something else that you brought up at the beginning.
Yes.
Well, maybe not at the beginning, but, you know, somewhere along our conversation. You talked about, this time in times of darkness, you know, and light.
Yes.
And you are right. We're going into the season of lights in both Christianity and Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last night, my neighbor right across the street puts all their beautiful Christmas decoration outside, and I love seeing it. He's putting all big, huge ornaments on a big pine tree outside of his house, and it's just beautiful. It's just gorgeous. And then I think of my holiday, which is Hanukkah, which is called the Holiday of Lights. In Hebrew, Chag HaUrim. So we have the concept of light both in both traditions. And I say to myself, in Judaism, there is this concept of being a light unto the nations, you know? And I think to myself, how can each and every one of us, Jews and non-Jews, bring light into the existing world? And I think of the first sentence in the book of Genesis, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was dark upon the abyss, right? And God says, let there be light, and there shall be light. That's not the exact translation, but it's the idea. and I thought to myself, darkness is a state of being, or it's a formation that only God can do. Light is what we human being can create to push away the darkness. And I love that concept that we as human being, our tasks in life is to bring light wherever we go. Now imagine that, right? With our personality, with our positive thinking, with our hopefulness, with our ideas, with our ingenuity, we bring light onto this world. And if you and I and everybody else who are reading now or listening to this podcast and reading my book will internalize that and do one action a day that brings light into the world, one action a day that bring light into the world will be lit in an amazing way. You know, in the Talmud, which is a Jewish wisdom source book, there is a concept that's called ner le'echad, ner le'me'ah, and I write it in my book. A candle to one and a candle to many. Have you been in a dark spot when one person lit a candle? No. That candle with one flame lit the room for all the people that are around them. That's how our influence as one person can be in this world. We can be a light that illuminates to other people everywhere. And I think that's a beautiful concept and an imagery to keep with us as we go through this season, which is the holiday of lights.
That is beautiful, Dorice. You are a candle and you brighten up everyone's day. I know you do because you brighten up my day. And I am so blessed that you are a part of my life now. And I am absolutely thrilled that you will be going out, that God is going to use your story and he's got a mission for you, maybe even bigger than what you think it is. But I am so glad that he brought the two of us together. Now, y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Moments of the Heart, Four Relationships Everyone Should Have to Live Wholeheartedly. Well, Dorice, we're going to have you back. We could talk literally probably hours upon hours. But I know people are going to want to connect with you in the meantime. Where can they find you?
Oh, okay. So first of all, thank you so much. Thank you so much. They can find me at DorisHorenstein.com, which is my website. And all of those who are signing up to my newsletter, I'm going to give them a free gift, which is this gift, which is called The Relationship Wheel.
Ooh.
The Relationship Wheel, right? It's a 7-day action plan to create your best life, to have a life of purpose and a life of intention. And it talks about, and it requires you to kind of like take one piece of the wheel and think about it every morning. It has to do with gratitude and with wisdom and with knowledge and with your soul and with your conscience and all these things that we did not cover today. So that's one thing I'm totally inviting you. You can also find me on Facebook, Moments of the Heart, like my page. I love that. Always love that. And if you're interested in the Hebrew language and want to take my course, I have an online 4.5 hours course, which is delightful. My hair is a little shorter then, and the color is darker, but it's me. You will feel it within seconds. Okay. And I would love for you to engage in my course online and to learn it. And for all of you that are actually going to do it in the month of December, I give that course and you can access it as many times for the whole month of December, even into the beginning of January. You can watch it several times. And at the end, I will offer a live Zoom with all of you if you want to ask me and have a conversation about the course and about things that you found interesting. And maybe I have more of tidbits to share with you to continue educating you. So I welcome you to go to my website and sign up for the Language of Intent on the shopping cart. It's right there.
Thank you so much, Doris. That is so generous. I know I will be signing up for it. My whole thing with words, I am just more than fascinated. And to learn a little bit more of the Hebrew language and understanding it is, I think, so beneficial on so many different levels.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think it will just open for you a whole new universe of material to work with for your own podcast, but also for your own spiritual enrichment. You will think, oh my Lord, look what I've discovered.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we'll have all that information in the show notes for you all to make that connection with Doris. Now, Doris, before I let you go, I have one last question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
My story gifted me with the ability to know inside my heart that I can do what is in front of me. I had self-doubts. 1.5 years ago, I wasn't sure how it will all work. And I learned to believe in myself and to believe in, for me, God, that he will take me to the right pastures at the right time. And it was, to some degree, letting go of what I think should happen and allow the universe to work for me. And that's something that I have gained tremendously over this last 1.5 years. Is that what you were thinking about? Does that answer your question?
It does. It does very much so. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's your story, and it's such a beautiful story.
Yes, it's you know, I've been, when I left, I only thought I was doing it because I needed to do it. I did not understand or internalize the impact that it will have even on my children. When my children talk to me and they say, Mom, we are so proud. They actually say Ima in Hebrew. They say, Ima, we are so proud that you, at the age of 53, 52 at the time, decided that you are going to leave and things are going to be okay. The level of trust that I have, that I did not know was so solid, came to be very solid. And I was an example to other people. So whoever you are, just know that your actions and your words are example to other people, even if you want it or you don't. And I'm so proud that I've shown my children that learning about yourself is a life journey, that wanting to accomplish things in your life doesn't end when you're 50. You know, you always want to keep on growing. You always want to keep on expressing yourself and exploring the world that is around you. And for that, I'm immensely grateful.
And I am grateful for your friendship. And I praise God for our continued growth together as our hearts are now entangled as one.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure being with you. I value you. I think your podcast is amazing. I give you all of God's blessing your way. Please, God.
Many blessings to you.
Thank you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.